My name is Srini Ale. I'm a hydrologist at AgriLife Research Center at Vernon. And I acknowledge my co-authors, Naga Raghuveer Modala, a former graduate student who just graduated, then Nitya Rajan, Kelly Tharp, who are also attending the meeting, but not sure if they are here, and then Clyde Munster. So the High Plains and the Rolling Plains region in the Texas, they are among the largest cotton growing areas in the world. And the annual precipitation in this region varies from about 36 centimeters in the far west to about 76 centimeters in the east. And cotton in substantial acreage in this region is irrigated with groundwater using water from the Ogallala Aquifer in the High Plains and the Seymour Aquifer in the Rolling Plains region. So this region faces many challenges, including recurring droughts in the recent times and rapidly declining groundwater levels, especially in the Ogallala Aquifer, due to which the many restrictions imposed by the groundwater conservation districts. So the challenge to meet these restrictions. And then added to that, the climate change studies also predict warmer weather and a reduction in rainfall in the future. So under this scenario, so we did this study to analyze the spatial variability in future climate when compared to historic climate in this region. And then we also assessed the impacts of climate variability and change on cotton yields at Chillicothe Research Station in the Rolling Plains and also across the High Plains and the Rolling Plains regions, using our previously calibrated model, the DSAT cropping system model, Crop Grow Cotton. A paper based on this is in review in transactions right now. The methodology we followed is, you know, we set up the model for the Chillicothe Research Station, then we did the calibration, validation, and we did a further evaluation of the model. And parallelly, we downloaded and processed the future and historic climate data projected by three different climate models. Then we did the bias correction of rainfall and precipitation data, and we created the DSAT formatted weather files for this region. And then we used the Chillicothe calibrated model with these data sets and assessed the climate change effects on seed cotton yields at the field as well as the regional scales. So the DSAT, it's a platform that integrates database management systems, crop models, and various application programs, including sensitivity analysis. And this DSAT is equipped with 28 cropping system models, and each of these cropping system models simulates crop growth, water use, crop development, and then crop yield. Under cumulative effects of the soil properties, cultivar characteristics, and also the management practices on a daily time step. The DSAT needs weather inputs, minimum maximum temperature, precipitation, solar radiation, and wind speed, and cultivar characteristics, and then some soil parameters, including soil moisture characteristics, soil texture, initial soil moisture, which is very important. And then the management inputs related to the fertilizer application, irrigation application, tillage, and the plant density and things like that. So, as I mentioned, we use the data from cotton experiments conducted at Chillicothe Research Station over four different seasons from 2008 to 2012 by my colleagues, Dr. Nitya Rajan and Dr. Paul Dillon. Subsurface drip irrigation is there in these experiments, and the cultivars planted were Delta Pine and Stoneville varieties. And the data was available on leaf area index, canopy height, and the seed cotton yields. So that was used for calibrating and validating the model. For want of time, I'm not giving full details about the calibration, but the model did a fairly good job in predicting the seed cotton yields at this station. For example, in the calibration treatment, the percent error was hardly 1%, whereas in the validation treatments, it varied between like 1.4 to 9.2%. The model did a fairly good job in simulating seed cotton yields for this site. So coming to the future climate data sets, we use the data sets from the North American Regional Climate Change Assessment Program, And we downloaded the data from three different models, GFDL, CGCM3, and CCSM. And we downloaded the precipitation, solar radiation, air temperature data from these models for both historic, which is 1971 to 2000, and the future, which is 2041 to 2070 periods, on a 50-kilometer spatial resolution and a daily temporal resolution. So when these projected climate data is downscaled from the global climate models, bias is systematically incorporated due to scaling issues and also some conceptual errors. So the typical biases include, you know, high frequency of days with low rainfall when there were no rain at all, and then incorrect seasonal variations in rainfall, and incorrect estimation of extreme temperatures. So we applied distribution mapping techniques to correct the bias in this data. So we plotted the cumulative distribution functions for the historic observed as well as the climate model projected data. And we found the bias associated with that, and we developed the bias correction transformations which we applied to the historic data. And then we assumed that this bias would be stationary under the future climate scenario, and we applied this bias transformation for the future data as well before using in our modeling. So for example, when we look at this comparison of this data before and after bias correction for one of these counties in this region, the mean monthly rainfall in this region is shown, the observed data is shown in the bars, and the climate model projected data is shown in this green dots, which after bias correction, which is shown in the red dots, closely matched with the observed and mean monthly rainfall at this site. So once after completing this bias correction, we try to assess how the climate varied across this region in the future, is expected to vary in the future. So in the by three different models here, and the left panel shows the historic variability, and then the middle panel shows the future variability, and the extreme right panel shows the change that is expected. So as we can see, this is a map for the precipitation, average annual precipitation. So in the future, it is expected to decrease within a range of 30 to 127 millimeters in the future in this region. And also, these models predict overall decrease in the number of rainfall events, but an increase in the number of extreme rainfall events in this region. And also, these models predict overall increase in the rainfall intensity within a range of 3 to 8%. When we looked at the temperature, the maximum temperature is expected to increase within a range of 2 to 3.2 degrees centigrade in the future. And coming to the minimum temperature, this is also expected to decrease in the future within a range of 1.9 to 2.9 degrees centigrade in this region. Some regions show much higher variation compared to other regions. So using this historic and future climate data projected by these models, so we simulated the seed cotton yields at Chillicothe first. And we considered both scenarios without considering the projected increase in the carbon dioxide concentration, which are shown here. As we can see, all the three models predicted a reduction in seed cotton yields within a range of 2 to 14.9%. But this is without considering the carbon dioxide increase. But as we know, under different IPCC emission scenarios, the carbon dioxide concentrations are projected to increase at varying rates shown by different scenarios here. So for this study, so we used the A2 scenario data, the carbon dioxide concentration increases, and under which the carbon dioxide concentration was increased, was assumed to increase from 493 ppm in 2041 to 635 ppm in 2070. So when we implemented the carbon dioxide increase in the model, so completely different trends were observed. Under the future climate scenario, so about 30 to 53% increase in yield was predicted by these models. So then we looked at the published results from phase experiments in different regions. For example, in California, a study reported 3 to 41% increase, and in Maricopa, Arizona, a 40% increase is reported. So our results are in agreement with these results from the previous studies. So coming to the regional assessment, so what we did is we identified those counties in which at least 400 hectares of cotton is grown, and we identified 32 such counties, and we assumed each county as a separate mapping unit, and we created the DSAT projects for each of these 32 counties for both historic and future climate periods. And then we used our calibrated parameters from Chillicothe for these projects. And since model needs the irrigation data, so we had to implement auto irrigation with triggering irrigation at 50% available water, but and stopping it at about 85% of available soil moisture. And for want of time, we also used only one climate data for now for this regional study, like climate data from one climate model. So we made some assumptions, some of them like, you know, all of the selected counties, we assumed that follow a similar crop and fertilizer management practices for cotton production, and there is no spatial variability in weather parameters across each county. And we were able to collect only soil samples from about 6 counties, so we assumed that the soil properties in the surrounding or adjoining counties are kind of similar to the counties where we took some measurements. And we believe that these assumptions are reasonable based on observations we have, but we definitely need to collect more data and further validate these simulations, so in order to gain more confidence in these model predictions. So when we look at the regional trends across the region, we could only complete without considering carbon dioxide concentration increase in this study. So as we can see in these 32 counties, the bottom panel shows the change in expected seed cotton yields in the future. Again, this is without considering carbon dioxide increase, and this ranges between 0.7 and 20% across this region, and clearly the rolling plains region is expected to suffer more compared to the high plains region, mainly due to projected reduction in the rainfall. But as I said, you know, we are going to expand this study with carbon dioxide concentration increases as well for this entire region. We couldn't complete it for want of time, but we also are doing a parallel study by calibrating the model within the high plains region itself using data from Jim Berdowski's experiments at Hoffe. So for that study, we did estimate these seed cotton yields for 5 different counties with carbon dioxide concentration increases. Then we found that those yields were within 2 to 28% increase in the future by considering the projected increase in the carbon dioxide concentration. So to conclude, so when compared to historic period, these RCMs predicted a reduction in average annual rainfall within 30 to 127 millimeters and an increase in the Tmax and Tmin within 2 to about 2.9 or 3.2 degrees centigrade. And coming to the seed cotton yields at Chillicothe with carbon dioxide projected increase, the yields are expected to increase within like 30 to 53%. When we don't implement the carbon dioxide increase, they are like in 2 to 15% decrease. So it's interesting to see how these results are going to be with the other climate models. So in the regional study, the seed cotton yields are expected to decrease within 2 to 20% if we don't implement the carbon dioxide concentration. But as I said, when we implemented carbon dioxide concentration in some of 5 of those counties, we found a 2 to 28% increase in the seed cotton yields in the future. And I would like to acknowledge the co-authors on our model evaluation paper, Dr. Dillon, Dr. Ed Bonds, and Dr. Sham Noyer. And we really appreciate the funding support received from Cotton Incorporated for this study and AgriLife Research Cropping System Initiative. Thank you for your attention.
In the interest of staying on time, if you have any questions, please go to me.